This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Team, it's Bish Cakes, EB, and Lurch, also known as Bish.
Mm-hmm.
We'll By the way, real quick. 9 till noon tomorrow.
Yep.
And EB and Cakes from noon till 3.
Noon till 3, that's right.
That's correct.
And if the weather permits, I'll be outside on the deck again. Love to broadcast from there.
I think you will be. So the Vibe machine's not working today for whatever reason. I can receive the texts from the listeners, but I can't respond to them. I don't know why.
Yeah. You can't interact.
Yeah, I feel empty inside.
There's a void.
But I just wanted to read a couple. One guy says he just heard Cakes Wave Soda read, and he sounds like my family in Minnesota.
Hmm.
Really? Like I have a like.
Well, because I think you emphasize the soda.
Soda, soda, like a Midwestern affect.
Yes. Yeah.
To like my voice.
Upper Midwest, yes.
Well, if I had done it 15 years ago, I would have said, wave soda. Soda.
Right.
Like a townie. Like it would have sounded like all of Valdez's neighbors in Pasadena.
Right.
Just hard to, terrible.
All right. Someone wants to know what was in my red Solo cup.
Yes, I was
you have a red Solo cup today? Didn't notice.
Well, I did. It's in the kitchen now, but it wasn't vodka. Don't worry.
It wasn't
Deep Eddy or Tito's.
A mimosa?
No, it was just straight up agua.
Water?
Yeah.
Water? Why didn't you just put it in a regular glass, cup?
You mean just a regular glass?
Yeah.
Because I usually drink out of plastic cups.
Why? Because you don't like to wash them?
I wash the plastic cups, too.
I don't understand.
You wash and reuse plastic cups?
Yeah.
Squeaker Central, play Squeaker Sport.
What's going on over there? I don't understand.
It's not your typical Solo cup that you have at tailgates where it's real plastically and flimsy.
Oh, so it's a durable.
It's durable. Right, it's reusable.
That makes more sense.
You mean like a Starbucks plastic cup that you would get? Like that kind of thing?
Yeah, a little harder than that.
Really? No, I mean like a hard plastic, like my daughter has like a $20 Starbucks cup that she likes to pour her coffee in with a plastic, hard plastic straw.
I don't know what those look like, but yeah, I guess so.
We have one drawer just full of water bottles.
But that's such a waste of money.
A cocktail, I use those plastic cups. I don't use glasses.
You don't?
No.
Yeah, I have to.
Wine, obviously, I do, but.
What is that?
Squeaker's Court music.
Squeaker's Court.
Anyway.
Officially in session.
We had to buy plastic cups for cocktails because I kept they kept smashing on by the fire pit. Mm-hmm. I'd kick one or it would slide off the wicker.
You were spilling? The leader in the clubhouse spilling in the studio?
Beyond spilling, glass shattering. On the patio.
It's dangerous.
Yeah.
Well, that's the other
not
thing.
Good.
I mean, cups don't break.
Right, so I had to get plastic, like clear
shatter.
Plastic cocktail cups for selling.
All right, another guy says, we were talking about the soaps, and he says, patches on Days of Our Lives, not General Hospital. But he also says that Days of Our Lives are, I guess, soaps in general have been running reruns for a month.
Oh, there you go.
So there you go there.
That makes sense.
Right?
I mean, I would think they would run out of episodes.
Everything's got to be shut down, right? It's got to be open up soon, but...
I went through a weird phase, I think, for 1 year in college where I watched a lot of Santa Barbara, which used to be an NBC.
I used to love that show.
For whatever reason. My roommate and I watched it, like, every day, religiously. And then we just stopped.
I think that soap opera actors and actresses get mocked like it's not
respected like a movie actor or even television. Yeah,
I think they get labeled. I think they get labeled.
However,
I think you're right.
Those gigs are fantastic because, again, the other day I'm watching something with my wife, and Denise Richards, who's on one of these Real Housewives shows,
yeah,
apparently she's on The Bold and the Beautiful.
Who would know?
Okay, but I didn't really watch the show, but I was aware of that show because during college, during 1 year, I did watch a lot of Days of Our Lives, and mm-hmm. it was on at the same time, and I recognized two of the actors still going from when I was in college.
Huh. It's kind of a trap for a lot of actors. You get into that soap game. It's hard for a lot of them
to get out of it. It was a woman who, like, at the time must have been in her 20s. Was a smoke show back then when we were in college, and she, you know, she's probably 55 now or something like that.
Right.
Still looked pretty good.
You know who I saw? It shocked me how old he looked, and I'm sure you guys saw the story. It went viral. Rip Hamilton did a podcast, and he talked about how MJ, I guess, got into it with Laurent Prophet, and Prophet just smoked him in a scrimmage. And then Prophet talked trash to MJ when he was with The Wiz.
Right.
And he said, "You can't guard me with those old-ass knees."
Oh.
Right? And then what did MJ do? Like a month later, shipped them off to Orlando. Right? But remember, Rip Hamilton was part of that offense, too, who they later moved.
Yeah,
because
moved
and Rip was bitter. And Stack, all those guys were bitter. They weren't getting the ball.
Right.
MJ wanted the ball.
Right.
But they had a picture. Rip has got like this gray beard.
Yeah,
he looks terrible.
He looked very gray.
I was like, oh, my God. Because I still remember Rip Hamilton, like, you know, in his prime of his career.
Of course.
I haven't seen him in 20 years,
yeah, you're thinking of 25-year-old Rip Hamilton.
Yeah, he looks awful.
He's got to be like 45 plus at this point, right?
Yeah.
Like somewhere in that range.
He looks every bit as bad as we do.
All right, this is Typical Junkies. We've gotten sidetracked. We wanted to play some Scott Turner audio.
All right.
Scott Turner.
Hold on, I had one other one real quick.
Is he going to bore us like his dad? Is he dull? Is he super dull like Norv?
Right, one other one before we get to that. So, guy says, when's the last time you did Bother the Pro? He used to get sized for that.
He can't do that anymore.
He goes, he says, if the NBA comes back in Disney's, you should do it. I mean, we can't do it live on the air, but I don't know. Maybe the producers can grasp and call a hotel and get them on that way. I don't know. It's a possibility.
I don't know, Jason. We do Bob the Pro every weekend as you try and fill up the gas.
It's true. I'm running out, bro. I'm running out, man.
I mean, I just keep going down my cell phone list. I'm like, do I really want to reach out to this guy?
By the way, did you see that some of the NBA agents, I guess, were balking at some of the like hotel offerings on the Disney properties for their players? Because, look, Disney's a huge complex, has a ton of hotel rooms, but you know they've got rooms at the Grand Floridian, which are very nice, but then they all go down to like the All-Star Sports Resort, which is basically a glorified motel.
Right.
So some of the agents are like, well, we're not going to have our guys, our 7-footers, sleep on a 5.5-foot bed.
Here
That's
it is.
Finished.
Father, athlete, the sleeper awake. It may turn out money or turn into a shoe. And the jump, Father the Pro.
That might be Joe Artinger's finest moment.
Yeah,
that might be his best bit of radio production of all time.
Yeah. So I don't know. We'll probably never be able to do it again. But
probably not.
Good old days.
It's from a bygone era. Some would say.
I mean, maybe if we
Cakes, let bygones be bygones.
It violates FCC regulations.
Right.
That's just. To explain why
correct.
We can do
but
it.
But the way we could do it is we did it off air, recorded it, then got their permission, and then aired it.
No,
the guys have to do phony phone
no,
calls.
No. They have to be alerted once they're on air. So
but if you do it off air and you're just recording, you don't have to. You understand my point? Like if we did it from noon to 2.
You have to tell them that it's going to be in use before you record it.
I don't think so. It's just like you're doing a phony phone call.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
How many FCC packets have you read?
Valdez.
Thankfully none.
Valdez, how is it different?
I know what my answer is.
I'm pretty sure I'm correct on this. Maybe you're right, but I'm pretty sure I'm correct on this. It's no different than when Richard and Sal do a phony phone call. They record it before, and then you can't air it unless you get permission from them later.
No, they're told before the fact. I'm telling you that's how it's done.
Those are fake bits.
They have to be done that way.
Okay.
Let me just reiterate, thank you, Entercom, for not making us watch stupid compliance videos and wasting just valuable moments of what's left of our lives. Our
Thank you. You know what? Don't remind them because they might come back next week and say
they
have
they
to.
They could. That's
we
true.
Got EJ Raddick to talk some hockey coming up at 9:20. So why don't we play the Scott Turner audio and we can do a little reaction to what the new Redskins OC has to say.
Kind of fill us in on what the process is like trying to get a quarterback like Dwayne up to speed, new to the offense. How can you tell like what he's getting and just where he's at in his development in this offense?
Well, obviously we can't see him doing it on the field with the just the virtual meetings, but you know, we're putting a lot of work in, obviously abiding by the rules that the NFL has set forth, 4 days a week and, you know, 2 hours a day. And we're just kind of throwing a lot at him. And, you know, at the beginning of every meeting, we do some quizzes, tests, and just kind of just test the retention. And, you know, when we're talking to him, is he speaking the language? It's pretty easy to tell if they get it or not. And Dwayne's doing a great job. You can tell he's putting work in away from the meeting time. He's working at it and doing as much as he can. And then the physical side of it, you know, I know he's doing a lot of it on his own. You guys, I'm sure, have all seen the pictures. You know, he looks like he's in great shape. And then the time he's putting in with the receivers, you know, Terry and Kelvin, you know, they all have been throwing together for some time now. So that's all positive. Obviously, as a coach and with me, you know, coming here new and putting in this new offense, I'd love to have more time with him, but it is what it is. And, you know, I think that we're doing a great job of making the most of the situation.
The thing that struck me about that particular video, that Zoom interview or whatever, man, he looks like his dad. He looks so much like his dad. He's going to look just like him when he's his age.
Genetics, man.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
He doesn't have the hurting pock marks, but he's...
he has better skin.
He's got much better skin, much smoother skin, but he looks just like him.
Whatever happened to those cigars Norv gave us back in the day?
I probably gave one to Valdez. Probably. Said, I'm not going to smoke this nonsense. Give me a Marlboro Light instead.
Valdez, he didn't beat Valdez until years later.
That was pre-Valdez.
What do you keep a chronology of how long I've known Valdez?
Well, I just know that Valdez didn't start working until years after
predates,
the North Turner
era. North predates
I think
Valdez.
That's when Brian was running the board.
Yeah. Valdez, when did you start working for us? I'm going to guess like 05?
2009, I think. Oh, when 09. I started interning.
So it was only 10 plus years later.
Right.
And when was Norv the head coach of the Redskins?
Like in the 90s, late 90s.
Way before that.
Right. Anyway, I don't know. I think Redskins fans should be somewhat encouraged what you're hearing from Scott Turner, from Dwayne Haskins. It's all really going to be about Dwayne this season, don't you think? And the whole season going to be about Dwayne Haskins?
Of course. And what else do you expect Scott to say in an interview like that? Yeah, we're really unhappy with Dwayne. He's not working hard. You know, he's
it's true.
He's not paying attention in the Zoom meeting. Of course he's going to talk him up. I'm not saying he's lying. I'm just saying he's going to be positive.
But he doesn't necessarily have to offer that. He could
early on, you didn't hear such glowing reviews.
Wasn't that one of the biggest criticisms? Is that Dwayne's not understanding all the concepts and of the playbook? And wasn't familiar with terminology and stuff like that.
He wasn't putting in the work off the field.
Not necessarily putting in the work, but just was confused by it.
Yes.
And now
it was because he wouldn't put in the work. That's why he was confused. I'm just telling you, that's what I was hearing. But that's probably changed.
Yeah, I think it has.
You got nothing else to do in a pandemic.
I think. Listen, I'm expecting to see modest improvements. Maybe start out a little slow at first. I think a lot of people will, because of the lack of all the mini camps and all that stuff. It could be sloppy, but I think once they hit about week 3 or 4, I think he should hit a stride. But I thought that about RG3 coming off the ACL. I thought he'd struggle for 2 games and then he'd be silly again, and he never was silly again.
Yeah,
like, literally never was silly again.
2 games equaled the rest of his career.
Yeah. They're like, oh, he's coming back too soon. I was like, nah, it's fine. Take him 2 games. He'll be money.
Right. Dunsky.
And then he just was never the same.
All right. Coming up next, we'll shift gears and fill you in on what's going on with the National Hockey League. EJ Raddick, NHL Network analyst, will join us right here on the Junkies.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Joined now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline by E.J. Raddick, NHL Network analyst. A lot of talk that the NHL is at least moving on, moving towards the season. E.J., how you doing?
I'm good. I hope you guys are doing well. I hope all the listeners are hanging in there and doing well as well.
Yeah, we do
miss sports, of course, and the Capitals were a team that were poised to make a playoff run, and it's looking like we're inching towards a season. What's the latest with the NHL?
Well, I would say that's the right way to phrase it, inching towards coming back and playing in this playoff tournament that the league and the players have signed off on, which would probably, if things go well, probably would not start until probably early August now. That would be the phase four of the plan the league put forward earlier in the week. And just yesterday, the report was that phase three, which is the opening of training camps, wouldn't start now. It was early. The earliest possible date would be July the 10th. So that kind of pushes things back a little bit. But the league established a framework of what they're trying to accomplish. And the idea is that they can hopefully get to a circumstance where they'd have 12 teams, 12 from the East, 12 from the West in this, in two different hub cities, and have a qualifying round, and then go through the four rounds of the playoffs. The qualifying round would be 3 out of 5, and the first two rounds might actually be 3 out of 5. There's some debate about that at this point. They have still to be decided. Then the final two rounds would be 4 out of 7, and probably be wrapped up sometime based on that timeline, probably in late September, and then we'd think about next season, maybe in December or early January, depending upon the circumstances that we're facing. But as you guys know, and as everyone knows, the situation is very fluid and obviously subject to a lot of change, and there's a lot of possible hurdles that could change the plan even further.
EJ, a couple questions. One, fluid is a perfect word for it. It certainly is. One, what are the leading candidates for the cities? All right, that's the first question. And then number two, How difficult is it going to be? I don't know what percentage of NHL players are out of the country. Let's just say it's 20% right now. It might be higher. Is it going to be difficult to get those guys onto the mainland, you know, into the United States with all the travel restrictions?
Yeah, well, the league offered 10 candidates the other day, 10 cities that are candidates for to be hub cities. You know, three of them in Canada with Toronto, Vancouver, and Edmonton, and then the other 7 in the U.S. Pittsburgh, Columbus, Dallas, Chicago, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, Minnesota. I guess with the circumstances that are taking place in Minnesota right now, I would think that's less likely. They will choose 2 of them. Vegas has been talked about a lot because of the idea that there's just so many hotel rooms there. But I think things are, you know, again, it go back to the daily, the hourly, the minute-by-minute change we're looking at here, right? I mean, if Vegas, from what I understand, on June the 4th, they're planning on opening casinos to a certain degree. I don't know how it would be restricted. But, yeah, you know, again, if things change on the ground in Las Vegas and there's more people there and there's more things happening there, does that make that less likely to bring in 12 teams and have a hub city there? I'm not sure. I mean, maybe they would just isolate them. Maybe they would be in a hotel just completely by themselves. So I think this reminds me of the saying that Lou Lamoriello often uses, is that if you have time, use it. And I think the league has a little time in terms of figuring out exactly where they want these hubs to be, and they're trying to go through the process of understanding what those cities will look like for them when we get to mid-July, early August when they would need to be there. So those are the cities, and they'll figure that out. As for getting the guys there, I mean, that's another challenge and another hurdle. It's contemplated in the in the document the league released earlier in the week, and there will have to be some sort of isolation if players are coming from certain places, and that's why we have this kind of longer, you know, layout. We're looking to, the league is looking to get to this phase two, which would begin in early June. It would be a voluntary thing for players to kind of reassemble in different places and have small group workouts. So that's just another challenge of getting everybody here. And remember, the border between the U.S. and Canada right now is closed. So just getting people from Canada to a U.S. city or from a U.S. city to Canada could be problematic.
Joined by E.J. Raddick, senior reporter for NHL Network. Do you think that the top four seeds in each of the East and the West are happy with the round-robin format where they each play each other to determine the seeds against the lower seeds who are going to have to face each other in the first round?
Well, I think it solves a little bit of a problem in that the concern was with 12 teams, you need to have byes. And normally byes are something that you benefit from having rest after a long season. In this case, with obviously, maybe 4 months between when they last played and when they're going to try to play again, a bye isn't necessarily a competitive advantage. So they were thinking of ways to have those teams playing games that have some meaning. Now, playing games for seeding, if indeed it is tied to seeding the round robin, is not exactly the same as playing for your ability to advance. So it's not the same level of intensity, but it does give those teams an opportunity to play some games that have some sort of meaning, that you're playing for something and, can get ready for that next round. So I think, it answers that problem. And I think that's why we have it. I think the team, obviously a team that is, like Boston or St. Louis, which were the first top seeds in each of the conferences, probably would prefer to keep those top seeds without having to have them threatened in a round robin circumstance. But we're in totally different times with a totally different setup. There's teams, all the teams probably have something that they're not that thrilled about. And think about the Devils and the Buffalo Sabres, who literally if they'd won their last game, might be ahead of Montreal. I think Buffalo was getting ready to play Montreal when this whole thing started and we went on this pause. So I don't know if anybody is really necessarily going to be perfectly happy with this situation, but I think that's where we're at right now. And I think from my standpoint, I mean, I'd be thrilled if we could actually talk about, if we could get to a point where we're actually playing games in early August. I mean, that would be quite an accomplishment when you consider all the things that are in the way of that happening right now.
What about media coverage, EJ? Play-by-play teams, are they going to be allowed to go to these cities and call the games, or is that going to be virtual as well?
Well, I think from what I understand, the regional broadcasts would certainly be doing the games from a studio. The couple of guys that I've talked to so far that do that, told me that's their understanding. So, if Joe Beninati and Craig Locker and the guys who do the Caps games, they would likely be in a studio somewhere doing those games off a monitor. When they get to a later round, or when they get to the national games, like those guys, like the Doc Emricks and the guys who do that, those guys might be in the building. But again, I'm not 100% certain on that. And I think, again, that is something to that's possibly could change as we get closer to those times, that maybe it's either a little safer, or they have the ability to have them there, or it could change. But I would think the regionals, because everything is in the same place, you'd have a lot of different, local broadcast teams in and out of the buildings. I think it would just make sense to have fewer people, and a way to do that is just have those guys call it off the monitor.
EJ, when we were playing, how amazed are you that Alex Ovechkin was leading the league in goals still? he's
well,
ageless.
I guess I'm never really amazed that what's gone on with Alex Ovechkin. I mean, when you think about his career and just one of the, probably the greatest goal scorer ever to play the game, the pure goal scorer. I mean, I'm I grew up watching Mike Bossy and the Islanders, and Mike Bossy was as amazing a goal scorer as you could find. I mean, first 9 years of his career, 50 goals plus in each of those seasons. Nobody's done that. But, you know, the era is different. Certainly, it's harder to score goals in this era for a number of reasons. Most notably, the goaltenders are really bigger and more athletic now than they were in that era. And he just finds a way to get it done over and over and over again. So, really, I guess the answer would be no, not that surprised. And, you know, the thing, you know, we were all talking about the possibility is could he get, you know, to Gretzky's, to that 892. And it was seeming like it was more of a possibility. And now we've been on a pause. So he's going to lose some. He's obviously lost about 10, 12 regular season games here. And in his career, Alex has lost, you know, games throughout his career due to, you know, a work stoppage. Or now, you know, a pause due to a pandemic. So it's, you know, that will work against them. But I'm sure when they come back playing, Alex Ovechkin can come back and be scoring again. That's just what he does.
EJ, how would you grade what Coach Reardon has done since he took over for Barry Trotz? He had the early playoff exit last year, just a devastating Game 7 loss to the Carolina Hurricanes. Does he need a relatively long playoff run to feel secure heading into the next season here in D.C.?
Yeah, I think that's interesting because, you know, we're coming out of, you know, we'll be coming out of something that's so, you know, so different, right, and so unexpected. And I don't know, you know, if I'm Brian McClellan, I'm looking at it and the Capitals don't play well for whatever reason out of this pause. You know, I'd be hard-pressed to say, hey, I have to fire the coach because, you know, I mean, the situation is so incredibly unusual. I don't know if I could make really hard decisions on that. Now, that said, you know, Brian has been watching, you know, Todd's first season and now into his second. And, you know, he may have other feelings about it already, and that could push him over the edge. I think Todd has done a pretty good job. He came into a situation after a team won a Stanley Cup with a very popular head coach there and someone who'd been around a long time. And it's hard to repeat. They were not able to do that. As you mentioned, lost just a heartbreaker Game 7, home ice, double overtime to the Carolina Hurricanes. And, you know, but the team had been playing well and has been relatively successful in the year and three quarters as Todd has been the head coach. You know, I think that their defensive play in big moments hasn't been maybe as tight as it needs to be, but it's still a very good team and still right near the top of the league. So I'll be curious to see if we get to play again, how things unfold and how the Capitals do. But I think the teams that have experienced players and have experienced winning and have some guys that could benefit from some rest, you know, when you think about, you know, Ovi or Backstrom or, you know, there's those guys that played a lot of NHL games in their career. You know, those are guys that, you know, they understand what they need to be ready. They understand what it takes to win. And so I think teams that have experienced players, those guys should be able to come in and have an advantage in a very, very uncertain time. Remember, we're going to be playing in hub cities and empty buildings. It's going to be different. And I think experience will be valuable.
EJ, real quick, and we've talked about this with some guests regarding the NBA and the NFL if they went fanless. But if you're going fanless in hockey, especially in the playoffs, when these players feed off of the home ice energy, right? And let's just say TJ Oshie scores a goal, place goes bonkers. With no fans, man, that's going to be weird. I think that's going to have an impact on the players and how they react and how they play. I think it's a flip of the coin in all these matchups. It usually is anyway in hockey, but you know, these guys have never faced this before. It's going to be really strange.
Yes, as I said, right? Experienced guys, I think, will be able to take that in and understand, you know, and digest how different it will be and how they have to react and kind of be professionals.
Right.
Because you're absolutely right. It's going to be a completely different circumstance, and it'll take some getting used to for the players. But, you know, I think these guys, they're competitive by nature. They compete hard in practice. They compete hard when they're, you know, just doing anything, really. I mean, if they're playing, you know, table tennis in the players' lounge, I mean, those guys get very competitive. So if we can get through all these phases, all these steps, and get to an opportunity where they're actually playing on the ice, and we get to, you know, we get to witness what that looks like, it will certainly be a lot different. It will be less enjoyable, I think, from a viewing standpoint. But I do think that it will be wonderful to have it happen. I think that the players will be dialed in and figure it out, and it'll look and certainly sound completely different. But these guys are competitive, and if you know, the chance to raise that Stanley Cup is on the line. I think, they'll figure that out, and that'll kind of play into how, they're going to go about their business over that perhaps 2-month window.
EJ, appreciate the time and insight. Thanks, pal.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
You too, man.
Appreciate it.
Stay safe.
Again, I don't want to beat a dead horse. I think there's going to be fans. I think especially come playoffs, the later rounds, maybe not in the first couple games, but when they see the NFL is going to have packed stadiums, and you know, if the state allows them, I think you're going to see fans. Maybe
those fans won't be, well, in hockey anyway, won't be home fans, because they're going to be in neutral cities. So it's not like you're going to have a ton of Caps fans going to whatever city.
Right. That's true.
It's still
plus
be
they'll
weird.
Be back before the NFL kicks off. Yeah. They should be.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, what about the playoffs? What is it scheduled to go through right now?
I mean, that Bettman has said that the training camps won't start before July 1st. So I think they're thinking mid-July for like the training camps. Late July, you start the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
EJ seemed to think that it was going to be early August.
Yeah, could be. Early August.
Probably will, yeah.
That you're starting to get close to football season.
Yep.
So, yep, absolutely.
And we know the playoffs, they last several months. They just do, and now they've expanded it. I'm telling you, there's going to be fans.
They've expanded it, but they've also cut it down to best of five. So I don't know. You have to do the math on that. But you're right.
If it's one location and they're not traveling, maybe it'll be compressed.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
All right, got to take a break. Phone number is 800-636-1067. We're the Junkies. Coming right back. Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. You want to chime in on anything? Phone number is 800-636-1067. You can always tweet us at Junks Radio. Just a reminder, tomorrow morning it's me and Bish on from 9 till noon. Then EB and Cakes take over from noon till 3. We are working on the weekend.
Yes, we're working for the weekend, like Loverboy said many, many moons ago.
But if you're working for the weekend, the implication is you work hard during the week so that you have free time on the weekend.
Yeah, that's true. That's a very good point.
We're working on the weekend, not really for the weekend.
Right. We're doing both.
Yeah. But you know, we get a 1 day respite on Sunday.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, everyone loves a day and a half weekend.
It's true. I actually get up around, we go on at noon. I'll start prepping like at 9 for that sucker. It's just different, especially when it's a 2-man show versus a 4-man show. But it's been fun. I've actually enjoyed it. Why don't you do it outside with me?
I will not do 3 hours of prep.
Do it outside?
Yeah, just pull your stuff and do it out in your back patio. It's actually awesome.
I mean, I guess I could do that. My cord for the internet's only like 8 or 9 feet. Super long.
Yeah, well, I just ordered a 100-footer, so I could broadcast from damn near anywhere on my lot.
Maybe I'll do a segment or two outside. I don't know. Al fresco.
You don't seem too sized.
I might. I mean, you know what? I kind of like inside. I don't hate inside.
Do.
I don't. I mean,
it's just nice to get that fresh air.
I'm fine with fresh air too. I mean, I get outside a decent amount, but I kind of like broadcasting in front of my casting couch.
On the weekend, it just feels wrong to be like locked down in the basement with the door closed. It just hurts. I don't know. I don't get sized.
Right. Let's go to the phone.
Especially if it's going to be really nice.
A couple people want to chime in. Stu is in Clifton on line one. Stu, you're on with the Junkies.
Stu.
Good morning.
Stu, you there, buddy?
Stuart?
Yeah, I hear you.
Hey, what's up?
What's up, man?
On the news this morning, they showed the soccer stadium in Europe, and they've equipped like 50 monitors in the stands facing the field, and each monitor is hosting a different Zoom call. So say you're on the couch with all your buddies watching the game, you know, you can react to the action on the field, and those players can hear you yelling and screaming and reacting and carrying on.
Let me see if I can.
It's okay. It's kind of.
It's going to be different.
I haven't watched it. I would just imagine that being like what the NFL did for the NFL draft, where the commissioner had the fans behind him on a monitor and a bunch of
I found
of
that to
screaming.
Be so annoying. I mean, you got used to it, but it's.
We're at hype them up and say, come on, Packers Nation. Come on. Your pick is in.
It was
so
fake.
I think he's saying is, though, if you have a bunch of Zoom followers of a team. Let's just imagine an NFL game. So you got a bunch of Redskins fans, and there's a big play. Then instead of the typical crowd shot with the camera, they would then go from Troy Aikman to all of a sudden a crowd shot of the Zoom people going nuts.
Yeah, but you can't have 70,000 of them.
No.
Why don't we just open up the stadiums and just let people go? And if they think that they're vulnerable to this, they stay home.
Because they won't.
Let's just do that.
Well, I don't know. The NFL might say, F it.
The NFL might. The NFL, I think, is going to just be like, you know what? Yeah. We're open for business, baby. They've shown no signs of slowing down, at least at this point.
Right. They're probably afraid of lawsuits, too. That Cakes said he liked the fake canned noise that he heard when he watched the soccer.
I didn't hate it.
He changed his tune on that.
Now, I think soccer is a little bit different, too, because of the chants. It's unique. It's kind of distinctive. But I think it probably sounds better than just nothingness in the background, than just a whole lot of nothing. I didn't hate it.
Well, I mean, just think about that with the NHL, what I brought up to EJ.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like a game-winning goal, right? A series-clinching goal, you're going to hear nothing. I mean, you're going to hear the players.
I'm telling you, though,
that'll just be strange.
It's a different event. But when I watched the UFC pay-per-view, and it was something that I was really into, and there were some spectacular finishes, typically you would hear this huge audience reaction. I didn't really miss it because it was meaningful games. You know what I mean? So, like, if you're watching the game at home and the Redskins score on a Haskins to McLaurin touchdown at the end of the game, you may not hear the crowd noise, but you're still going to be just as excited at home because it's meaningful to you.
It's just going
to
be a different viewing experience. That's all. Yeah. That's all I'm saying. And it'll be different for the players, much different.
Let's go to line two. Matt is in South Riding. Matt, you're on with the Junkies. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, gents. Hey, Bickle, you were, for ages, you were harping on the Oosthuizen versus Oosthuizen or
Oosthuizen. Oosthuizen. Yeah, correct.
Yeah.
So
that is the correct pronunciation. I mean, they asked him, how do you pronounce his name? And he said it.
How do you pronounce the last name of that smoke show Page?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not claiming to be an expert on that one.
I think it's Sporanic.
It might be Sporanic.
Sporanic. Sporanic. Yeah. You got to say it a few times.
No, Sporanic. You're right. We did talk about that once.
You guys had her in studio. I was out that day. I missed her.
I think it's Sporanic.
You're putting me on monkey tilt with this.
Sorry.
Sparanak? Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how to say her name.
Well, she should change the last name, the pronunciation, because it sounds
Paige
better
Sporanic?
To say Sporanic. Sporanic doesn't sound as good.
Yeah. Hey, listen. All you need to say is Paige. She's like Madonna. That's all you need to say is Paige.
She's a one name person now?
Don't you agree?
No, I agree with you on that. You're putting us all on tilt here. You got to practice a few times.
I would say he's not putting many people on tilt.
Yeah, I don't really
putting
care.
You on tilt.
Putting
but
you
probably
on tilt.
Probably not the masses.
But listen, I admit I don't really. I'm not even 100% sure you're correct, but you're probably closer to correct than me.
Well, she said it herself on the show. She said,
"Yeah,
it
I wasn't there."
No, I do remember that.
Do you have the audio of that?
I'm sure I can find it. I don't know in 2 minutes though.
Yeah.
Probably not.
I just need to hear it.
That could be a whole segment on our show tomorrow.
How to pronounce Paige Sporanic?
Yes.
Is he saying Sporanic? That's what he's saying?
No, Sporanic.
Sporanic.
Paige Sporanic.
This is a whole segment, noon to three tomorrow.
I'm never going to get that one.
Sporanic.
Can you give me it like sounds like Jordanic? Yeah, my
mechanic,
right? Sporanic.
Yeah, sounds like our Wells Fargo guy.
Right. My advisor, my financial advisor's last name is Jordanic.
Just think Ed Sporanic.
Ed Sporanic. Loves
the Irish so much.
Being right.
Being on the show for so long, I think it's funny that the only name that Eric has ever cared about being pronounced correctly is the dumb golfer.
Oosthuizen.
Oosthuizen, yeah.
Oosthuizen.
And like, he doesn't literally care about any other name. And always people say the Oosthuizen name to him, and he goes, yeah, they pronounced it wrong. But he doesn't care about anyone else's name, ever.
Well, it's amazing to me. It bothers me that we Americanized his name, and he just waved the white flag. I mean, honestly, he's like a cuck.
Wurstheisen.
He just let everybody just butcher his name, and he waved the white flag.
But Drab is right, because you butcher Jeff Bezos' name amongst many others over and over again. Every time you do a story about Lori, you go, is it Lori Loughlin?
What is it?
Loughlin.
Loughlin?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Bezos, did we talk about that yet? Bezos.
Yeah, you mentioned Jeff Bezos.
We got to get out of here, dogs.
Grant and Danny, they're up next right here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.